National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. From an eight-digit prison number white-collar criminal to one of the leaders in white-collar criminal reentry into society, working with those in need of rehabilitation and reentry, working across the economic divide from one of the most affluent communities in the nation to one of the lowest income, a prison reformer seeking an end to mass incarceration, a man on a mission tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. The Reverend Jeff Grant is the Executive Director of Family Reentry, a criminal justice organization, offices and programs in eight Connecticut cities. He's the first person in the U.S. formerly incarcerated for a white-collar crime to be appointed as CEO of a major criminal justice nonprofit. He's also the co-founder of Progressive Prison Ministries, the first ministry in the nation created to provide confidential support and counseling to individuals, families, organizations with white-collar and other nonviolent incarceration issues. After serving 14 months in federal prison, Jeff began his own reentry, earning a Master of Divinity degree from Union Theological Seminary in New York City. What a background. Welcome, Jeff. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in studio. And it's you're like the walking example of a second chance society and one of the few people, I think, that bridges the income inequality divide in America, which we'll talk about. You're a presence in both. But first, tell us this story. Give us the background of how you got to where you were.
Well, I grew up in Long Island, and I was kind of a normal kid in high school. You know, didn't do that well in high school, but well enough to get into law school. And I practiced law in Westchester County. And while I was there, I was playing basketball with a client of mine, and I ruptured my Achilles tendon. It was in 1992. And almost immediately, I became addicted to prescription narcotics, to opioids. And honestly, Jim, I loved it. You know, it was just, it was an obsession, a compulsion, an addiction. For the next 10 years, I took prescription opioids almost every day. I mean, looking back on my story now, you know, now that the frame around the country is the opioid epidemic, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of look at myself as maybe I was an early victim of the opioid crisis. You know, so I don't know. I'm really gonna have to think about that. But at first, my law firm did great, very very successful. Maybe 20 people working for me, general counsel to some of the largest real estate companies in Metro New York. But it caught up with me. And at some point in around 1999, 2000, we were out of cash, and I invaded the client escrow account and commingled the funds and tried to hide that. And, of course, that fueled my addiction further. And after 9/11, I think I went completely crazy and took out a 9/11 loan to try to save my firm, but I misrepresented myself on the application. I have no idea why, probably because I was desperate. And It's a strange anomaly.
Did you have to have a connection to 9/11, or is it?
Well, what happened was there were seven counties around Manhattan that if your business was adversely affected,
you could apply
for the loan. And so I called up and I told them that my business had halved basically. And to be honest, I didn't know if it was because of 9/11 or because of my drug abuse. You know, there was no way of knowing. And they told me I would be approved, and that notwithstanding, I lied on the application anyway and told them that I had an office in Manhattan.
Which you didn't have to have, even, ironically.
Which I didn't have to have.
That's one of the eight.
I know. I was crazy.
Yeah.
And took out the loan. Of course, it didn't help. And soon thereafter, the summer of 2002, I'd had enough, and I'd been chased by the grievance committee for a few years at that point. And I resigned my law license and got one last prescription for the opioids and tried to kill myself.
And it's we were just talking before we went on. You were going to go into Silver Hill, right? And even right before that, you walked into a bat mitzvah, right?
I walked into a wedding. Actually,
a wedding. We were talking about the Glen Island place that we had been. And tell us the story.
So what happened was that I had detoxed from the overdose. And I called up Silver Hill, and there would be a bed available in a few days. And we were going to a wedding. And my family's going to a wedding. My daughters were in the wedding party. It was my older daughter's 18th birthday that same night. And as the story goes, I walked up to the bar, and they were pouring shots of, I think, kamikazes for the wedding party. And people tell me that I walked up to the bar and drank all 15 shots. And that was my last drink on August 9th, 2002. So my sobriety date, I've been sober ever since. My sobriety date is August 10th, 2002. So it's about almost 15 and a half years. Yeah.
Great story. Now tell us, you lost everything. Tell what that's like, your family, your house, your money, everything.
I lost my home. Soon my wife was going to kick me out. I lost my position in society, in the world. No, we had no money, not one. And I was a very, you know, I was a popular guy. I lived in Rye, but my business was in Mamaroneck, and I was on the school board down there. And I owned a restaurant in Mamaroneck, too. So we had a lot of people we knew. And when I tell you, Jim, that after this happened, not one person from Mamaroneck brought a tray of lasagna over our house to see if we were okay. Not one.
And did you lose a restaurant?
The restaurant we had closed a few years earlier,
okay.
but certainly I was a, you know, I was a.
So how much did you hurt?
How much did I hurt?
Yeah, do you mean self-esteem?
It was incalculable. There was a hole inside of me that was so huge, and I felt worthless. I felt I had negative self-esteem. I mean, not just no self-esteem. I thought that though I would never ever come back. I thought that my life was over. And I'd hurt my family so desperately
that you could never make up for it.
And I was in denial about a lot, you know. There was so much pain. There was no way to absorb it all at one time.
So I guess you should tell folks that you were diagnosed with bipolar disease, which obviously is an explanation to a lot of the behavior, and not necessarily criminal. You know, it can be fixed by putting a guy in prison.
Yeah, I mean one of the good things was that I went on to Silver Hill Hospital. And I spent 7 weeks there, and I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And I think that was probably ahead of the curve where people were looking at bipolar disorder the way that we do now, kind of, you know, compassionately and kind of understand it more. But I got put on medication then, and after 7 weeks there, I certainly was under the care of a psychopharmacologist. And I went into recovery here in Greenwich, actually, although we were living in Rye at the time. And I came into recovery, I just found a new life. I found a new way of living here that an acceptance in the rooms of recovery. And I started going three times a day. And for the next 2 years, I went to three meetings a day. I went to about 2,400 meetings in 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Tell us. What was prison like? Where were you?
Well, what happened was when I was 20 months sober, I got a call from the FBI telling me there was a warrant out for my arrest in connection with that SBA 9/11 loan. And we went, I hired a lawyer, pled guilty, and then for the next 2 years, basically had to wait to get sentenced. So I was living in Greenwich and waiting to get sentenced. And on Easter Sunday of 2006, literally on Easter Sunday, there's a mistake made in my papers. I self-reported out to Allenwood Low Security Prison out in White Deer, Pennsylvania. And I walked in the doors, and they looked at me like I was crazy. It was Easter Sunday. What are you checking into a prison on Easter Sunday for? And I showed them my papers, and they looked at me, and they were not happy.
You had the wrong date? Or?
No, no, no. There had been a mistake that the date I was supposed to have reported was Easter Sunday. But I'm sure the judge didn't know that it was Easter Sunday when he picked that date. And they were not happy at that prison to have to do an intake on Easter Sunday, I can tell you.
And you feel good about yourself. You get out of prison now, and
yeah. I mean, prison has its own story. You know, it was a story of resilience and resourcefulness. And you know, I learned a lot about myself. I turned to faith in prison. You know, I'd been brought up a Jew, and I found Christianity in prison. And right now, I consider myself a double belonger, a Jew and a Christian.
Double belonger.
A double belonger. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a phrase that was coined, I think, by Paul Nitter of Union Theological Seminary. And so I came out of prison, and I had to go to drug in for mandated drug counseling, and from there I started on a road of volunteerism, and ultimately wound up in applying to Divinity School, as you know, and I applied and was accepted to Union Theological Seminary in the city of New York, and I got a master's degree and a master's of divinity there with a focus in Christian social ethics.
Great story. Listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell, over 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen over the internet, access our podcast. We'll talk about what Jeff's doing now, next. Stay with us.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with the Executive Director of Family Reentry, Jeff Grant. And we're about to talk about family reentry, what he's dedicated his life to. But I want to ask him, just ending up from the last segment, you had all this wealth and position and investments and stuff. All that stuff went away. You went and became a minister. What is money, prestige, and power? What does that stuff mean to you now? And you live in Greenwich, so it's just sort of a home of it.
I have lived in Greenwich or the Greenwich area for over 30 years.
Okay.
And I can tell you that.
Those are big deals here in Greenwich, those things.
especially if people out there in who are listening who aren't in the area should know that basically Mercedes in Greenwich is a starter car. But I had to, I was living a spiritual way of life now. You know, it was I was decidedly non-material, and I knew that that materiality was part of what brought me down. In fact, Jim, I could have reapplied for my law license 7 years after I lost it. That would have been 2009. So that's 9 years ago. And people ask me, like, Jeff, why don't you get your law license back? Because I can make a lot more money as a lawyer. And I said, why would I do that? It almost killed me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel. You know, there's no judgment. I mean, people in Greenwich are wonderful people, generous to nonprofits, generous to family reentry, certainly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't when I pull into a spot on Greenwich Avenue and I'm driving my Honda and there's a Maserati next to me, you know, I have to just say, this is not mine. You know, this is not my life. This is their life.
Now, you were saying before that, you were shunned completely in Mamaroneck. Have any of those friends come back to you from there, or it's just like a different world now?
No, I would say fundamentally not. I mean, some of them tried. But I was engaged in a very few tried, but I was engaged in a new way of life that was looking forward. And I made a lot of decisions that people didn't understand. Certainly, I had, turned to Christianity, and that was a thing that a lot of people didn't understand.
And
I became a reverend. I got ordained, I got baptized at the Second Congregational Church here in Greenwich, where my wife Lynn and I have been attending. And I would say that fundamentally the biggest change for me was the fact that that Lynn and I have a love story, and that I found love again, and I found acceptance in someone who saw some things in me, Jim, that, believe me, I could not see in myself. She had to be crazy to make a bet on me. But she taught me a lot about being a gentleman and about being someone who can live life differently. And, I'm forever grateful.
And you work together.
We work together in the ministry. Yeah, it's true.
Let me ask you one more thing then. Do you think that at the root of a lot of this white-collar crime, and maybe even, in the inner-city crime, is mental health, mental illness issues, bipolar? and that's fundamentally not treatable by the judicial system? Or
well, I think that if you lump drug and alcohol addiction under mental health, I think that it's probably 90%.
Wow.
More, maybe. I mean, certainly at Family Reentry, we deal with a lot of behavioral issues for inner-city crime and inner-city families who are suffering from incarceration issues. But I that we founded a ministry here in Greenwich for white-collar criminals and their families. And so I've worked with hundreds of white-collar guys, and I can tell you that fundamentally they're at their core, they have character issues that were deep-seated, or some kind of a reason why they adopted desperate behavior and maladaptive coping mechanisms. And you know, like nobody you know, when they're in school says, you know, what I want to be when I grow up is a white-collar criminal. But you could see where the pressures push people over, you know, for working for hedge funds or having to deliver day after day. And it's hard. And not everybody can some people snap.
Now, you're one of the few people probably in the country right now that bridges that divide. Do you see fundamental differences between white collar criminals here and inner city poverty crime there in Bridgeport?
You know, it's interesting. I don't see that many differences between the people. I see huge differences in the communities. And
what do you mean exactly?
Well, I mean, the people, I mean, they're normal people. They're suffering from shame and guilt and remorse. Yeah. And they're stigmatized, and they can't get good housing. They can't get good jobs. Their families are in disarray. There's divorces. Their kids are thrown out of their normal activities. I mean, I see people who whose children are no longer able to play with their classmates because their families are now pariahs. And that's true. Whether it's in the inner city or in an affluent community. But there are actually I see signs in the inner city where they're more forgiving, where they're, you know, it's not about schadenfreude. It's more about that unfortunately, you know, criminal justice issues and prison issues are an embodied issue in the inner city. And the churches rally around their people, their extended families. I mean, they're there for them.
They try to help make up for the dysfunctional nature.
Yeah, they help each other. And I don't know that in that's really the case in affluent communities. And certainly we've had a lot of experience in Greenwich. And I tell people all the time, listen, if you want a real spiritual experience, you know, come up to a church with me in Bridgeport and see what's going on there, because these people, you know, their worship or their understanding of spirituality is based in oppression. It's based in suffering. And so now, if you've gone through a white collar issue here in Greenwich, I mean, you're suffering. But there's not necessarily a good outlet here in Greenwich or in affluent communities to be able to express yourself as someone who's suffering.
Fascinating. Okay, tell us about Family Reentry, its mission, how you got involved in it, what you do with it.
Well, I was on the board of directors of Family Reentry all through time I went to seminary, and I was a working member and volunteer at Family Reentry. It's a great nonprofit that is really enlightened, creative, tries to add value to the inner city experience, works with men who have domestic violence issues. I know, you know, domestic violence is a big issue here in Greenwich, actually. It's actually the number one reason for police calls in Greenwich. But Family Reentry is the largest domestic violence provider of programs and services in the state. We provide domestic violence services for the men in 8 different cities. And, of course, Greenwich has a rich victims services experience at the YWCA, for example. But in terms of the actual men who commit the crimes, I mean, we're in large part in the business of retraining men how to behave and behave well and behave in a way that they're going to be successful and be good citizens and fathers. And so we're proud of that. We have services in prison. We have services for family and children. We have services, reentry services, when people come home from prison. And we serve, you know, approximately 4,000 people a year, and that's a lot.
And you're able to take a guy with a prone to violence and turn him around?
Well, if he wants to be turned around, I mean, I don't think we can work magic. I mean, there's still high recidivism rates, but they come through our program and they do better.
Hey, listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We're going to talk more about family reentry and Progressive Ministries, his other mission, in our third segment.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630. If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon and Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with former white-collar criminal turned prison reformer, crusader, Jeff Grant. But one more on family entry. You converted from the board to they actually wanted to make you executive director, right?
Yeah. About 15 months ago, they asked me to step off the board and become their executive director. And I think that was a direct result of some huge cuts that the state of Connecticut had given to non-residential reentry programs. And in fact, you know, it's probably an important topic in the state to understand that even as we are closing prisons in the state, which is a good thing, and reducing the prison population, there are no non-residential reentry programs left in the state to assure that people are being supported, as these ex-inmates are being supported. And, you know, it's probably a countdown till many of them go back to prison. And family reentry was on the forefront of those wraparound services. When they got cut in the summer of 2016 from every contractor in the state, not just family reentry, we had to look at a new way of doing business, and they brought me in as executive director. And I think it was a good marriage of my skill set and my passion and my calling. I'd been doing prison work at that point for almost 10 years, and you know, certainly background in law and ministry and reentry and recovery. So I think that it informs a lot of what I do, and I'm really proud to that, you know, as you said in the opening of the show, to be the first person who was formerly incarcerated for white collar crime to be appointed as the CEO of a major criminal justice organization in this country. So I'm happy about that.
It's almost like the state has outsourced this job to a nonprofit. How do you do your funding?
Well, we still have major state funding, so from the judicial branch and from the Department of Corrections. So that's roughly $4 million. And then we have the largest private fundraising of any criminal justice nonprofit in the state. And I can tell you that we are very, very grateful to Greenwich, because Greenwich, I would say a very large portion of that comes from Greenwich, also from foundations and other grant, grantors. But Greenwich is very, very supportive of family reentry. So we're blessed that happens.
And do you have youth programs as well?
We do. We have mentoring programs. We have programs actually for the children of incarcerated parents. We have historically had programs for at-risk youth, but you know, it's always it's always about the funding and what's available at that time. And I would say that right now it's a little less youth and family and a little more men either trying to prevent them from going to prison or coming home from prison. But you know, that mix can change. There's a cycle.
Do you track folks that come through your program have a lower recidivism factor than guys that are just chucked out of jail?
Oh, way lower, of course.
Yes.
I mean, it's all about measuring impact,
yeah,
and having good data, and that's what funders want to know, and it's, yeah, what we want to know. I mean,
so you're actually saving society money in the long run, because incarceration is hugely expensive.
We should have a show. We should just come in just to talk about justice reinvestment and how, if you save $100 million from the criminal justice budget, from the prison budget, how 10% of that came back into the communities and made the communities better, we would be solving the problem and disrupting the intergenerational cycle.
And saving long-term funding.
But of course, the legislature doesn't really think that way. They think in terms of short-term.
This year's budget, they got to continually fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some enlightened people on that in the legislature, and we're grateful to them.
And it's changing up there, too.
Yeah, it is changing.
Well, how do you and your wife do this together?
Well, my wife, she actually brought me into family reentry because she had been a volunteer there. And so she brought me to a benefit, and that's where I met the family reentry folks. But in the white collar ministry that we have, she works with the women and the spouses and the children, and sometimes grandparents. And I work with the men primarily because it's men with the men, women with the women, and we try to help people. I mean, for example, one of the big initiatives we have. Is on every Monday night we have a white collar online support group, first in the country.
Now we're talking about progressive ministries now, right?
Yes. This is not family reentry, right? But you know, so this is my family reentry is my day job,
right?
And at night,
and you're a co-founder of this, we should say,
a co-founder of the Progressive Prison Ministries, right? And we founded it here in Greenwich, and so on Monday nights we have an online white collar support group on GoToMeeting. So it's actually on video, and we get to see each other. And
from around the country,
over the country. And right now, I think we represent 15 states, and we just had our 86th meeting.
Wow.
So our 100th meeting is coming up soon.
Wow! And how often do you meet?
Every week.
Every week.
Every Monday night.
Same type of guys are coming back on each one, or
you know, it depends. I mean, we certainly have a core group of people who log on almost every week, but then
and it's families or just the victims?
No, just the defendants, just the people who have actually been prosecuted for white-collar crimes.
Okay.
But not everyone's been to prison. Some of them have had probation, and there's a variance, and everyone has a kind of a different story.
And they're all white-collar.
All white-collar, yeah. Yes, and although sometimes we have people who log on who have nonviolent crimes, drug crimes, things like that. You know, we try to be inclusive, and anybody who's reaching out for help, we certainly want to be able to offer.
You're talking about that right now, how would someone reach out to you if they hear this and they think that I got to get on this thing and
my email at Family Reentry is probably the best one. It's jeffgrant@familyreentry.org. And you can see what Family Reentry is doing at familyreentry.org, which is our website. And the white collar work is at prisonist.org. That's like feminist, but prisonist.
Uh-huh.
And
I was wondering where that came from.
Yeah, prisonist. And, you know, there's been a lot of media attention on the white collar work. You know, obviously.
How do you get around the fact that the one percenters or the folks that might be in this, you know, getting caught for insider trading and what you did doesn't generate a whole lot of sympathy, right, in the community in terms of, you know, either understanding initially? I mean, how do you get around that? You try to raise money, you try to build, you know, acceptance of it.
It's a huge problem.
I
think that's one of the reasons we chose for it to be a ministry. I mean, not just because I had credentials as a minister,
right,
and a master of divinity, but because, you know, it's a decidedly spiritual movement where we're trying to move people away from the materialism that brought them down and into a new way of life, overcoming a lack of compassion and empathy and lack of empathy. It's a huge problem. I mean, you know, people are spellbound by the rich and famous in this country and on TV and the movies and in the magazines. And there's a certain amount of people who want to see people fail. And so that it's like slowing down at a car wreck on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And so it's over sensationalized, and there's not a lot of fair media, magazine, newspaper articles, but some. And I'm certainly willing to work with them, and I've spoken to a lot. But it's a problem. But I think fundamentally, what people find when they get close enough is that, you know, we're all sick and suffering people. You know, we're broken,
And everybody deserves a second shot.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's a difference, really, when you've had a life-altering experience, like going to prison, for example.
Right.
I'm not sure emotionally it's much different than other life-altering experiences, like being through a divorce or the death of a child or cancer. I mean, these are things that are seminal events in people's lives. And I think how we've learned to deal with it is living in community and no longer living in isolation. And these are gifts that we can offer anybody who's gone through that kind of a transformation, and you know, I minister to people, speak to them all the time.
What does Progressive Ministries do with the families?
That's
where Lynn is focused.
That's where Lynn's focused. Yeah, I mean, you know, God bless Lynn. She, you know, she's so kind and compassionate, and in ways that the family members. I mean, not only do they need like real down and dirty information, like how to visit your loved one in prison, and what to do when your loved one is away, and how do you support yourself, and how do you talk to your children about that? But also, they need to be hugged. You know, they these people have been through hell.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what my wife says all the time, what Lynn says, is that, you know, maybe the greatest gift we can give to someone is just sitting with them while they cry. And I can tell you that most of these people are,
because they feel isolated too, right?
Oh my God!
And often they've been shunned, having done nothing wrong.
Oh no, yeah, they're sitting in these carcasses of huge houses,
yeah,
in affluent areas, waiting for the foreclosure, waiting for the house to get taken away, and they don't know what to do. And we try to provide them some experience so that they have some information.
Just give you and Lynn a great feeling, great sense of.
It empowers me. It gives me life. I mean, it's the difference waking up in the morning now and feeling purpose and feeling, you know, and feeling infused with the spirit, as opposed to where I was when I was a lawyer who would just, you pay me and I argue for you, or you pay me and I close your deal or something. I mean, life is 100 times better.
How do you manage both of these in the last 30 seconds?
Oh, the family reentry and
progressive
ministry.
Yeah.
Well. My job,
Greenwich and Bridgeport. I guess
my job is at Family Reentry. That's my job, and writing that ship and making sure that's successful and serves its mission, you know, is my life right now. And
then the online support you can do in the evening or whatever.
Exactly. And anyone who reaches out to me, and if anyone out there who has a white collar issue or even an inner city issue, please get in touch with me. We'll find resources for you.
Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We'll finish up on our final segment with Jeff Grant next.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free, no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back, our final national segment with Jeff Grant, co-founder of Progressive Prison Ministries. And would you like to see an end to the era of mass incarceration? And what are some of the justice, the big justice reform ideas that you see would make sense based on your working in the real world with folks that have come in and out of prison?
Well, it's such a huge question, Jim. I don't know if we're going to see the end of mass incarceration in my lifetime. You know, I'm not a young guy anymore, but certainly. When I first started this work 10 years ago, when I got out of prison, you know, it was not polite conversation to be able to talk about criminal justice. I mean, it was an uphill battle even to get anyone interested in it. And now it's dinner table conversation. I mean, it's in the paper every day. I think there have been some pioneers in terms of creating a popular culture around it, which has its good and bad. But Orange is the New Black, and even TV shows like Prison Break and Oz and things like that. I mean, they're not realistic portrayals of prison, but at least people are willing to engage in that conversation. And so what's happened is that there have been some brilliant people at the forefront in terms of information. Certainly Michelle Alexander, the new Jim Crow was groundbreaking. Brian Stevenson down in Montgomery, groundbreaking. He spoke at Christ Church a couple of years ago. And so we're talking about the problems in a different way, where we're addressing social structures, and there has been a huge difference. I mean, there's been enlightened prison reform in almost every state in the country, not all, but almost. And certainly here in Greenwich, in Connecticut, we have a very, very progressive Commissioner of Corrections, Scott Semple, who has brought us through huge changes from, you know, the draconian lock 'em up kind of thinking into rehabilitation and really wanting people to do their best. And, you know, I'm proud to be in that community with them.
The mental health education, job training, all those things that would help get some guy back on his foot, is that coming together, you think?
No, at least not in Connecticut. And that's not because of lack of trying. It's mostly because lack of money, because Connecticut is in such a tough fiscal place. Yeah. But I can tell you that, at least in Connecticut, but in many areas around the country, the era of relying upon government to solve our social problems is over. And so what it means is that as pioneers or as people who care about the problem, we just have to take it on ourselves. And what that means is that we have to package it. We have to put it in a way that funders will understand. We got to take it to rich people. We got to take it to major gift people. We got to take it to foundations. We got to take it wherever we got to take it and say, this is the problem of our generation. And if we don't solve it, then we're in for a heap of trouble. And I can tell you that people are listening, and they are opening doors now where a decade ago the door never would even open to crack. And now the doors are wide open for the conversation. So I thank you out there for that. And I can tell you that within a couple of days or weeks, I'm going to be at you with new ideas and new programs. And we are looking for compassionate funders who really want to make a difference and understand social impact for their money.
Tell us some of the next things that you've got on your docket in Family Reentry, Progressive Ministries, and some of the upcoming events.
There's a lot of events. Certainly, there's a lot of events in Greenwich. We've had newspaper coverage in Greenwich. We just happen to be in Greenwich right now while we're taping. So magazine articles. We have a great friend in the Nantucket Project, which is here on Mason Street in Greenwich. And they're a conference that brings together thought leaders in Nantucket every fall, but then they have a road show, and they have movies, and they have films and videos and things like that. And I've spoken at the Nantucket Project three times, and again tomorrow night, by the way, but this will air after that. And so for, you know, progressive, forward-thinking people who have resources to not only adopt the criminal justice issue, but to adopt someone as broken as we are.
Do you get folks to go down with you to Bridgeport, or is there an effort to try to get a little bit more of that?
You know, if I could get a van going from Greenwich to Bridgeport,
back and forth,
and because people in affluent communities like Greenwich, New Canaan, Darien, and all over the country, because, you know, I'm in touch with people all over the country, especially in that white-collar group, they're afraid of the inner city. They're afraid. You know, they're not just afraid of crime, but they're afraid that they're going to be judged. And in truth, what I find people in the inner cities are afraid of coming into Greenwich. They're afraid to be judged, too. But they have so much commonality. I mean, if we sat down and we had a communion dinner at Christ Church here in Greenwich, and we invited people of different zip codes, and they sat down, and we just said, look, talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, we're not going to tell you what to talk about. You know, half the room would be Yankees and half the room would be Red Sox. And they would be talking about baseball
thing we'd be talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But we, you know, we have to overcome all these, you know.
It's a great point. And we should say for our national audience that Greenwich is an affluent community. Bridgeport is more of an inner city type environment. So it's applicable to wherever you are in the country.
They're actually the two same county communities with the greatest socioeconomic disparity in the country.
Yeah.
So they're 20 miles away, and the wealthiest town and the poorest town are within 20 miles of each other.
It's like we're a laboratory here, right? I mean, you're a laboratory
essentially. Well, this is why we've chosen to do it here, because if it works here, then it's going to work in Oakland and San Francisco. It's going to work in...
And are you going to export it? Are you going to work to export it?
Well, I mean,
franchise it conceptually.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I certainly want to be a test case. I certainly want to prove that we can overcome this kind of when I say prejudice, I don't mean that it's literally prejudice, but it's preconceived notions of what people can do when they bring together different communities. And sure, of course that's my personal mission.
All right, as we finish up, give folks again your email address and the blog or the website that you want folks to go on.
Sure, it's jeffgrant@familyreentry.org, and familyreentry.org is the inner city website for family reentry, and prisonist.org is Progressive Prison Ministries. And we want to hear from you, and we want to hear from you if you have a problem. We want to hear from you if you have a friend or a family member who's got a problem. And certainly want to hear from you because we love donations, and that's important. We can't do the mission without the money, so it's important that we hear from people on a daily basis, and we understand what's really going on down there in the streets. And one of the things we pride ourselves in is that we are in direct service.
Great interview. And one of your articles, you have a quote in here from Dr. Martin Luther King, and it is his birthday around now, so it's an appropriate time. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. That seems to define your life pretty well. Rock bottom to doing good work. Thanks, Jeff. Always great to see you again. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Our next show, we've got a corporate executive. He was COO of Disney. He was a government leader, assistant attorney general for antitrust in the Carter administration. He's now become a local politician. That's Sandy Lidvec. It's a fascinating show. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks to our national audience. We'll see everybody again next Sunday.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.